ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्। देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 34 एंटाइटल्ड नंद महाराज सेव्ड एंड शंख चूड़ा स्लेन। टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। तम अपृच्छाद् ऋषिकेशः प्रणतम् समवस्थितम् दीप्यमानेन वपुषा पुरुषम् हेममालिनम्। तमपृच्छद् ऋषिकेशः प्रणतम् समवस्थितम् दीप्यमानेन वपुषा पुरुषम् हेममालिनम्। तमपृच्छद् ऋषिकेशः प्रणतम् समवस्थितम् दीप्यमानेन वपुषा पुरुषम् हेममालिनम्। तमपृच्छद् ऋषिकेशः प्रणतम् समवस्थितम् दीप्यमानेन वपुषा पुरुषम् हेममालिनम्। माताजी word to word meaning tam from him. Apruchad inquired. Rushikeshah, the Supreme Lord Rushikesh. Pranatam, who was offering obeisances. Samavasthitam, standing before him. Dipyamanena, brilliantly shining. Vapusha, with his body. Purusham, the personality. Hema, golden. Malinam, wearing necklaces. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the Supreme Lord Rushikesh then questioned his personality, who was standing before him with his head bowed, his brilliantly effulgent body bedecked with golden necklaces. Purport: the demigod was about to speak and Lord Krishna wanted to focus everyone's attention on his words. Therefore, he personally inquired from the worshipable Vidyadhar, who was standing before him with his head bowed. Om Ajnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhishcha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this verse, actually if we want to know background of what happened in the past few verses, this chapter is after the five chapters of Ras Panchak, and in this chapter, as we heard yesterday by His Grace Govind Prabhu, that sometimes the Vraj Vasi will go to celebrate Mahashivaratri or worship Lord Shiva. So then they went there and then they are sleeping on the bank, and then suddenly a great serpent came up and started swallowing Nanda Maharaj, and then all the Vrajvasis, they got up on the calls of Nanda Maharaj and hit that serpent with burning firewood, torches. Still that serpent did not leave Nanda Maharaj. And then Lord Krishna personally placed his lotus feet, and by the touch of Lord's lotus feet, all the reactions were destroyed and the serpent gave up his present body and achieved a form of worshipable Vidyadhar. And then, as that beautiful, brilliant Vidyadhar has appeared in front of everyone, all the Vrajvasis, to clarify the doubts. And anyway, this, as this verse says, purport says, that this Vidyadhar was anyway going to offer prayers and worship Lord Krishna, but that Lord Krishna wanted that everyone should be attentive. to what he is going to speak. So Lord Krishna personally asked, who are you? Like next verse will be the question. But here it is saying the Lord Rishikesh asked this question, this personality who was standing before him brilliantly effulgent and body decorated with golden necklaces. So Lord Krishna asked the person so that everyone will listen attentively. So in the purport, same point has been explained. And actually this hearing process is the process of spiritual life as well. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagram mam yatha gnyasashi tashunu. Please hear. Krishna is telling that please hear how you can know me in full. So actually sometimes we want spiritual life to be shortcuts. I know one small, it was girl I think, but maybe around 7-8 years maybe at the most, yeah, something like that. She was asking her father that if I touch this Prabhuji, will my sins will go away? So we want like to get spiritual life or pure devotional service in that easy way. So idea should be yes, if I touch the sins might go away, but after touching we should chant regularly also. That is also important. Otherwise we don't want to perform the sadhana bhakti of hearing, chanting and the regulatory principles. And we just want go on, like if that would have been the case, then Lord Krishna, instead of speaking Bhagavad Gita, would have just touched everyone. And same thing Srila Prabhupada would have done. He would have just gone to America, Bowery, and just started touching everyone. And same thing Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would have done. There was no need for Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur to go to various places, open temples. Yes, Lord Chaitanya sometimes did that while he was on the South Indian tour. But still that was not done always by Lord Chaitanya also. And in Jharkhand forest, he did that with some animals. But we don't see our acharyas like Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas after him and before him go out and touching everyone as a mode of preaching. Generally, Lord Krishna also practiced that, generally. The mode of preaching or getting, sometimes people, they also expect that when we come in contact with spiritual persons, it might happen sometimes that they might get some extraordinary experiences. But that is not the main criteria. The main criteria is hearing humbly. Humbly means with faith. So, the qualification of disciple is here in Bhagavad Gita, tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. First pranipat, so that means faith has to be there. And then pariprasna means a real desire to hear should be there. And then sevaya means service. So, the transfer of knowledge or advancement in spiritual progress happens by hearing with faith and serving with proper consciousness. But some people sometimes, they have this ideas that like spiritual progress should happen with miracles. Yes, some spiritually advanced people might do miracles and we don't say that they cannot do that. But that is like Srila Prabhupada's case personally. Sometimes occasionally Srila Prabhupada while chanting Radha Madhav might got stunned and went into some ecstasy, and sometimes the tears streamed or they just flew like this from his eyes. But when Srila Prabhupada was asked afterwards by some of his disciples, what happened to you when you were in the class or something like that? Prabhupada did not give that lot of importance. He said, I generally don't do like that. It doesn't happen much often. So, that is a symptom of an advanced devotee, but not what the advanced devotee mostly does. Advanced devotee, they generally instruct us in the form of oral instructions. Like we see Narad Muni, even Narad Muni, he gave instructions to even Nalakuer, Manigiru, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. If touching, we don't see Narad Muni generally just go out and touch Dhruva Maharaj, okay, pure devotee, go ahead. And go ahead. He said, oh, you want, then you go to Madhuvan, worship the deity this way, chant the mantra. So that is the touch of Narad Muni. He told Dhruva Maharaj, he did not tell Dhruva Maharaj, okay, Hari Bol. Next. We hear in Ranath Maharaj's book about that his visit to one sadhu in Nepal, how he was just blessing people. So people also have this concept because they want it cheaply. That just sadhu should bless us and we should get all material desires and also a spiritual advancement. But we don't see Narad Muni or any acharyas doing. So the main point of spiritual advancement is hearing humbly with faith and serving. And we should understand that this combination should be there with, for a healthy advancement. Actually, there's one topic which I was logically thinking with some devotees and maybe with the help and the same topic is discussed over here in this book. Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, the touchstone of pure devotional service by Shivaram Swami. And Prabhupada has also given this ideas or some comments on this topic. Exactly how parampara works. Because I was thinking on these lines and what should be the answer. It is said that Prabhupada has said in Nectar of Instruction that unless one advances or becomes a comes on the platform of Uttam Adhikari, he should not become a spiritual master. That is there. On other places, Prabhupada also says sometimes Madhyam Adhikari and even Kanishka Adhikari can become spiritual masters. So generally this topic comes and I was just thinking if how come 600 crore people all over the world will be liberated or advance in spiritual life if their spiritual master has to, all the spiritual masters have to be Uttam Adhikaris or Mahabhagavatas. We would appreciate if everyone gets, but then we look at the Kali Yuga practical reality, that doesn't seem a good picture. It might be there in Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga. At present, if there are so many people all over the world in various places, in some small villages and so many, even in Bombay, what to speak of. How exactly the instructions of, there are even 1,000 or even 10,000 Mahabhagavatas in the world. How can 600 crore people deal with them and get guidance from them and get instruction from them on a real physical level? Just like when we say, we have only, suppose we have 30 years in our life remaining. We have only 10,000 days with us. Means only 10,016 rounds, not more. We have only 10,000, if we are chanting 16 rounds, if we are chanting more, that's a different thing. But we have only 10,016 rounds for us to, and aim is to advance up till the level of pure devotional service in 10,016 rounds. That's what we can say. And seems very odd. We see the things that are very odd. Only 10,000 times we chant 16 rounds and from conditioned soul to the pure devotional service. In a similar way, if there are even 10,000 Mahabhagavatas in the world, and if 600 crore people wants to advance in spiritual life, it's not that if touch would have been the criteria, it would have been difficult also. 10,000 people touching everyone, I don't think they can cover up 600 crore people. What to speak of instructions and guidance and like that. Even if they start touching people, and if that's the way to become pure devotee, still it will be practically difficult to for so many people to become pure devotee. So how the parampara should or will work in Kali Yuga? At the same time, we hear statements like Srila Prabhupada, or even we see in the purport, like Prabhupada would say sometimes, suddenly we should understand what mood he is saying, but he has said that. And even Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has said that, that even if one of my disciples become qualified and go back to the spiritual world, I will be happy if he can take me back with him. Prabhupada doesn't require that, but that means such things can happen. I don't say Prabhupada requires a disciple like that, but such things can happen, and we hear Prabhupada mentioned in the case of Suniti. That Suniti personally she did not practice spiritual life as much as Dhruv Maharaj, but because of the spiritual progress of Dhruv Maharaj, she was taken back to Godhead. So such statements by Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur are there, and the example of Suniti and Dhruv Maharaj are also there. So, yes, Dhruv Maharaj also had guru as Narad Muni, but initially his guru was also his mother, Suniti, and Suniti got equal advantage as much as Dhruv Maharaj. Dhruv Maharaj stepped on the death personified and climbed the plane to Vaikuntha, and before him her mother was already on the way. So, taking this whole condition, I was just thinking, and then I consulted with Radhika Vallabh Prabhu yesterday, and we discussed this book. So I thought we can discuss that also. So basically here, Shivaram Maharaj quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Rup Goswami. He quotes books of both of these acharyas. He says, as we say the nine steps, Adho Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sangha Tatha Bhajan Kriya. So nine steps, faith, then Sadhu Sangha, then Bhajan Kriya. Then anartha nivrutti, then nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhav and prem. So generally, Prabhupada says that one should become, there is Kanishtha Adhikari, then Madhyam Adhikari, and then Uttam Adhikari. And Prabhupada sometimes makes both together, but sometimes he keeps them separate also. As we have heard, there are various ways of even categorizing Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari, depending on their faith and advancement and like that. So, one way of qualification of Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam is on their faith and knowledge. One way of categorizing Vaishnava as Kanishtha, Madhyam, Uttam is based on their faith and knowledge. So, whose faith is wavering and not steady is called Kanishtha Adhikari, and Madhyam is who has become steady. So, in this faith and knowledge, generally the categorization given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is as follows. He says, first three stages, from Shraddha till Anartha Nivrutti. He says, one can be called on the level of Kanishtha Adhikari. And then, steady devotion, Nishtha, can be called at the level of Madhyam Adhikari. And then from Ruchi till further, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav and Prem, they can be called as Uttam Adhikari. So this, Uttam Adhikari means he is on the level of taste and steady devotion. But asakti means attachment to the Supreme Lord. But still, he might not be perfected Vaishnava yet. He is progressing. Also, here in the book, there can be another way of categorizing, which can be called as Kanishtha Bhakta, Madhyam Bhakta and Uttam Bhakta. So, Kanishtha Bhakta, again, the same four levels are there, from Sadhu Sangha till Anartha Nivrutti. And Madhyam Bhakta, there is little difference. Nishtha, Ruchi and Asakti. The devotee who is Madhyam has taste and also has a fixed devotion and also has attachment, asakti. But in Uttam Bhakta category, only those who have bhav and prem, they are put. So there is a Uttam Adhikari begins from taste level, ruchi, asakti, and Uttam Bhakta begins from bhav and prem. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that it is ideal if we have Uttam Adhikari plus Uttam Bhakta as a spiritual master. It's ideal. But at the same time, Uttam Adhikaris have been also told to take up the role of spiritual master. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, however it might be clear that Uttam Adhikari may be either a conditioned soul, or either a pure soul, perfected soul, or a conditioned soul at the stage of taste or attachment. And further. So both ways, he says, is qualified as Uttam Adhikari. So when Srila Prabhupada says, Uttam Adhikari should become or can become a spiritual master, then certainly he is referring at both of them, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Shivaram Maharaj explains. Basically what happens, generally I will come to this point, many times we discuss about the qualification of spiritual master, which is required, which has been mentioned in scriptures, but sometimes we should look at the qualification of disciple also. Both should be taken in equal way. I would come to this point a little later in our discussion, because both should be balanced, because both when combined together, they play a role of transferring or advancement in spiritual life. But here, because I was just thinking, there are various, yes, Mahabhagavatas, if we have a Mahabhagavat, Uttam Adhikari and Uttam Bhakta as a spiritual master, great. But at the same time, how can a conditioned soul, who are Kanishtha Adhikari like me mostly, but maybe some of us, how can exactly we come to know who is Mahabhagavat? That means we are discussing logically. How can we come to know? There are some qualifications or indications given in scriptures, like Bhaktivinoda in Upadeshamrita says, Anya Nindadi Shunya. He doesn't engage in criticizing others. That is one criteria. He is always attached to holy name and service of Krishna. That is another criteria. So such criteria, indicative criteria are given. But also it is said that it takes one to know one. So how the parampara will exactly work was the doubt in my mind, and this book clarified that doubt. So first, there are various difficulties to first, on our neophyte level, how can someone judge and understand who is 100% Mahabhagavat or not? And to even, we can get some ideas and we can get some faith. That's good. As it is said, it takes one to know one. So that is one point. Okay, somehow that we can understand who is Mahabhagavat or not. But how many of them are there in the world? That is also, means you yourself try to find out 100, 200, 1000. I don't want to give some number. But you yourself can try to find out. And even if there are a few thousands, How many people can access all of them personally and take guidance and advance in spiritual life individually? So considering all these points, I was just thinking, how will the parampara system go on? And this is today. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada makes two statements. He says, even if in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that even if there are no pure devotees in the society of devotees, one should stay with them in the society of devotees. He says that in one place. And another place he also says, a disciple generally advances till the level of the spiritual master. So considering all these points, I was just thinking how the parampara system will go on at present and also in the future, and how an individual soul can advance. So is it that if a soul doesn't get a Mahabhagavat Guru, he cannot perfect his life? Is that statement absolute and correct? Or what exactly should be the mood and role? And how are we to judge, on a most neophyte level, how are we to judge that who is Mahabhagavat or not? Yes, we have faith, Srila Prabhupada is perfect a devotee and his representatives are. But when we talk on a more analytical level, or more logical level, at the same time, even Sivaram Maharaj says that, sorry, but I thought sometimes we should discuss it. But he says, just by wishful thinking, we can't say that all the people or everyone is Mahabhagavat. So at the same time, he said that neither do they become perfect simply because they are supported by zealous neophyte devotees. Somebody doesn't become perfect just because few hundred or thousand people are there who are just zealous and saying that this is Mahabhagavat. So I was just thinking how a devotee who is sincere and wants to advance should go about. So what the book Sivaram Maharaj says here, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Rupa Goswami books, he says that yes, ideally it's best that we get Uttam Adhikari plus Uttam Bhakta as a spiritual master. If not, at least we should try to get Uttam Adhikari. That means who is on the level of Ras, Nishtha, Ruchi. At least on the level of taste. And I give one example. What faith we should have? Two faiths. When you choose a spiritual master, he should be ahead of us in spiritual life. Just like when we are standing in prasadam line. Sometimes the line is, very long. 100, 200 meters. Sometimes we are standing at one place and we don't know where is the counter. The line goes like this, like this, like this. And we stand behind someone having faith. If I stand in line, I will reach the counter. Because he is in line following the line, parampara. So, and he is ahead of me. So we follow him. The two qualifications is he is ahead of me and he is in line. So similarly, when we choose somebody as our guide or guru or siksha guru, we should have this faith. He is in line of parampara and he is ahead of me. And then we go ahead further, further, further. If we have this faith and this is the qualification, just like we will reach the prasadam counter, Krishna's mercy will also make us reach the spiritual world. And keeping this in mind, also one example was given, Radhika Balu Prabhu was telling me yesterday. Like sometimes it may happen that we perform devotional service under the guidance of an advanced devotee. And sometimes there are some issues in the life of an advanced devotee or spiritual master. Then does our devotional service, what happens to him? The example he gave was a very nice one. He says that just like when you go to a bank and deposit some money and you get a receipt. So afterwards, suppose the bank officer does something wrong and pockets the money. So the money won't go into our account. But when we show the bank the receipt that we have deposited the money with proper stamp and everything, the bank has to put that money into our account, even though that money has been pocketed by the cashier. Similarly, when a person has been performing sincere and serious devotional service, Lord Krishna may not wait for the rule that who is your guru, what is his qualification. Lord Krishna can directly give mercy. So both has to be seen, the qualification of a spiritual master and qualification of a disciple who is humble, surrendered and eager to hear. What happens as I will come to this point now. What happens after clarifying this point that, and in fact Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that lakhs of fruits of love of Godhead. And I want to distribute to millions and I want everyone to help me. And in that scenario, even Prabhupada one place says that even sometimes Madhyam Adhikaris and even sometimes Kanishta Adhikaris can play the role of spiritual master, means guiding people. So keeping this in scenario and keeping this book as Shivara Maharaj's book as a guide, I thought one should have faith that he is following. An advanced devotee is further, much ahead than him in the line, and he is in the line and he is following him properly. So he should be advanced and he should be in the parampara. At the same time, we should be following. So generally what happens, we try to choose the spiritual master, but how we follow, we don't focus on it. And now I will go on that topic. How the disciples should be careful. Sometimes, a few days back, we missed 2 months back approximately, we celebrated Govardhan Puja. And many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so many times various stories of Indras keep coming. One story of Indra we know, took a birth of a hog and Narad Muni had to come to save him. He did not want to go back. And we might think, oh, see Indra, he's attached to a she-hog or family of hog. And sometimes Indra becomes attracted to wife of Gautam Muni, Ahalya. We have heard the story and we think, oh, how can Indra do that? He is Krishna's devotee, his devota means they are Krishna's chosen people for various responsible activities. And sometimes we see Indra suddenly offending Krishna in the way of devastating rainfall. And immediately after that, when Krishna goes to Swargalok to return the jewelry of Indra's mother, and while coming back, tries to bring in Parijat, again Indra comes with a war. So sometimes you may have this question that how exactly, means how is Indra a devotee? We may think, oh, I am a devotee and I never fight with Krishna just because he takes away one flower from me. And sometimes we can think comparing, oh, I am even not advanced devotee, but I am a devotee and I just don't think of even destroying some village completely just because somebody did not worship me. I never think what to speak of doing it. I never think that way. So actually, we should be careful when we hear such Indra stories. First of all, we should know that Indra is an advanced devotee. Second of all, we should also understand Lord Krishna chooses his own people to teach the world. Lord Krishna might be making these stories about Indra, but he wants to warn us. Indra has power and position. And then, he is showing that how pride, position and power can hamper our spiritual life. So in Prabhupada also quoted that, in Marathi there is one saying, but Prabhupada also quoted that, like sometimes a mother-in-law, elderly lady, she wants to instruct a newly wed daughter-in-law, like her daughter-in-law just come into the home, and she wants to instruct the new daughter-in-law, she doesn't directly instruct her. The mother-in-law tells her own daughter that you should do like this, you should do like that, little loudly, so that the new daughter-in-law just hears it and understand what are the systems in this house. So Prabhupada says that the daughter in the house is already staying in the house for 20 years. And she knows all the rules and regulations in the house, practices. But she is again instructed by the mother, so that the daughter-in-law who has come, she learns the lesson. Similarly, Lord Krishna uses Indra for us to teach the lesson. And I will discuss, but we should never think that I am better than Indra. Why? Because I don't get attracted to Ahalya's wife, Ahalya, or I don't destroy village just because my worship has been stopped. Like, I went to some place and people did not worship me. They did not offer obeisances to me, so I got angry. So understand, through Indra, Krishna is teaching the dangers of pride and position. Suppose, just take a situation, materially or spiritually or whatever it may be, you have a position where 20,000 people are worshipping you, or maybe more than that. When they see you, they are offering you obeisances, they are putting garlands and everything. And that's happening for many years. And then one fine day, I don't see any small babies here, but one fine day some 4-year-old boy tells all those people, now we should stop respecting this person. And next time you go and no one respects you. What thought will come into our mind? These people, nonsense, they don't understand. Just at the saying of this 4-year-old boy, we may feel odd, we may not understand, but just because we are not so much respected or worshipped, we don't experience the loss of that worship. We can understand that. We see in Kali Yuga, sometimes, I will finish this point. Just because we are not respected and worshipped that way. Indra is for generations being worshipped that way. And then, just because Lord Krishna is 5-year-old, tells you should stop it, it is stopped. It's very natural to get angry. It's very natural for a person. Certainly, we would have also been, most probably. We get angry at much lesser cause than that. Just somebody doesn't, we have kept our prasadam plate, and just somebody eats it before we come. We get angry. You don't understand, it was for me. How did you eat it? Label was written on it. Label means worship. Yeah, it was my plate. And my plate has been taken away by you. And who told you? That brahmachari told me. Who is that? He doesn't understand the systems. So same thing, Indra. Then we don't react in a way as Indra because we just don't have the powers to do it. If we had powers like Indra, then certainly we would have reacted in much worse way. At least I myself. Like we see on the highway, on the roads in India especially, very nice gentlemen, people driving cars. But when suppose they touch each other, the car gets little accident, not even big, just touch. If big happens, then everyone has to go to hospital. But if small accident happens, just touch, some scratch, the way the people get down, they may be very gentlemen, they fight and give all the abusive words and they just show their power and whatever they do. But they just can't do more, so they sit in the car and go away. But suppose if one of the men had a power to just take up the car and throw it off, I think in that situation he might have done it. In such cases where such dents and scratches happen on the road, just suppose one of the person, like His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu was telling similar story in his class few months back. He said that he observed one time there were some two cars on a toll booth, they touched and one man got down. He just opened the door of another car, took out a driver, gave him some thrashings, put him back and went away. Because that was his power. If that man had a power to pick up the car and throw it off from a mountain and destroy the flat of that another person and kill the whole family, he might have done it. Just because he did not have the power, he did not do it. Similarly, when we think of Indra, we say, oh, I never destroy a village when someone insults me. When someone takes away my prasadam plate, I never destroy a village of that person. That's like that because we can't do it anyway. We don't have the powers to destroy the village. So, when we think of how Indra is wrong, we should understand, actually at least I feel myself, that we are much more wrong and worse than Indra. Only thing, we don't have the physical powers to do it. If we had the power to fight with Krishna, we might have done that as well. Just because Krishna takes away something. I never fight with Krishna. I cannot do it anyway. What way we just body of Kali Yuga who is going to last for 50 years, already weak at back and the neck and the eyes and the ears. How can we fight Krishna? What way, what scope is there for us to fight Krishna? So, our not fighting with Krishna when Krishna takes away something from us is not our greatness. It's just lack of our ability to fight with Krishna. And I am sure, at least for myself, if I had a power like Indra, I would have behaved almost like a demon only. What to speak of occasionally destroying villages once in a while. Even in small incidents, we were just gone out on our rage and did whatever the thing. Therefore, the qualification of disciple is also important. This is like something like Kanishtha Adhikari. What is the Kanishtha Adhikari one lakshan? He says only I and God. That is the Kanishtha Adhikari is one symptom, categorized in another way. He worships only God and doesn't learn to develop relationship with devotees. So, when we say, yes, I will take guidance only from Uttam Mahabhagavat, that's good. But we can take guidance from others as well. It's just like something only Krishna and Mahabhagavat. That is a little another varied form of Kanishaikari. That is a varied form of only Krishna and only one more person. Other devotees are not relevant to me. So, Madhyam Adhikari or real devotee, he learns from everyone. And if we are sincere, if we are surrendered to a person in our situation and circumstance which Krishna has provided us, if we have faith, he is advanced than us, he is in line. And if we surrender showing the symptoms of Pranipat, Pariprasna and Sevaya, then some circumstances, whatever may be, Krishna can arrange and give us the mercy. But we should be also equally eager to work out that are we actually surrendering? Are we actually taking shelter? Are we actually hearing with faith and attentiveness? And are we actually doing service in the eagerness and humble mood? So these qualities are also equally important or more important to advance in spiritual life and become a perfect devotee by Lord Krishna's grace. And in that way the parampara can certainly go on for ages to come. I think this was my understanding. It may not be very perfect and correct, but there are many senior devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, other devotees over here. So if they want, they can give some comment. Hare Krishna. Comment?
You raised the question, how does a neophyte know that a guru is a Kanishtha or a Madhyama or an Uttama? You didn't mention the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami. He recommends that you know, you find out, you know by living with the guru for 6 months or maybe a year. We didn't have any qualification to know, but we, with our discernment, we could understand that Srila Prabhupada was an Uttama Adhikari. So that's one point.
Thank you. He's just clarifying. Gaurang Prabhu has some comment.
I have a question with respect to when we say that in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya. So one of the questions is who delivers at the time of death? The initiating spiritual master or Srila Prabhupada?
I will just say whatever comes to my heart. I think Krishna can, first of all, Krishna decides to deliver. That's what I feel, the Supreme Lord. And then he can work, because it's a Guru Tattva, he can work either through initiating Guru or even the Shiksha Guru or even Srila Prabhupada. It may not be one standard answer that everyone's case, your Diksha Guru will come and deliver. Or everyone's case, Srila Prabhupada has to come. There cannot be one standard answer. Krishna can choose between for some Srila Prabhupada, for some Siksha Guru, for some Diksha Guru. But first of all, we should be qualified to get delivered. It's not that just because we have taken initiation, it's not guaranteed that we will be delivered. We have to just practice our own spiritual life. It's just like if we touch, there's like touching and getting. It's not that just by getting admission in the school, we are going to get first class or like that. So even first of all, we have to be qualified by sadhana bhakti, that pranipat, pariprasna and sevaya and further. And then at the time of death, if Krishna decides, okay, he has done enough, now let this soul come back to spiritual world. Then he can choose sometimes Prabhupada, sometimes Diksha Guru, sometimes Siksha Guru. Anyone helps, he can make the Guru Tattva or the principle of mercy through various channels. I think there can be many channels available and we may not restrict to one channel. Like in the okay, we are talking of Prabhupada today. What after 500 years? Prabhupada will be famous at that time. But just like for us, yes, Rupa Goswami is there, Sanatan Goswami is there, but they are little, or even Vishwanath Thakur is there. But for us, the recent gurus are more, like we hear about them more, talk about them more. So, like Madhavendra Puri is there, Ishwar Puri is there. They are certainly in our parampara. Madhvacharya is also there in our parampara. So the parampara exists. So who delivers? Why only Prabhupada or Diksha Guru? Why not Madhvacharya? He is also equally responsible for us. Why not Ishwar Puri? Why only last two gurus? Are they only supposed to deliver? Either way, we should understand that the whole parampara works and Lord Krishna can choose various options. That's what I wanted to say. Just like who delivers our... We are saying this question because right now we are in that situation. But what ISKCON will remain, say after 200 more years. ISKCON will remain and the parampara will remain. And then who delivers? My spiritual master or his spiritual master or his spiritual master or his spiritual master or his spiritual master or Prabhupada. There will be five gurus down the line. So who delivers? Anyone can. Lord Krishna can choose anyone to deliver the soul. First of all, we have to be qualified and Krishna has to take the decision. And that's my personal feeling and understanding. If someone has something else, they can. Hare Krishna. I think we'll end. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So.